If you are ready for an amazing transformational experience, then you need to stay tuned for this next hour for a master's practice with Dr. Aisha Hogan. She is a leading specialist in holistic methodologies and the creator of a powerful integrative technique called enhanced energy communication. A master, clinical and metaphysical hypnotherapist, a well-respected author, a master of the mind, and highly sought international speaker. Get ready for a major breakthrough. And now, your soul guru, holistic transformational specialist, and host of A Master's Practice, Dr. Aisha Hogan.
Hi, everyone. I am Dr. Aisha Hogan, and welcome to A Master's Practice. Thank you for joining me. I'm here every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard and 11 a.m. Pacific Standard. And today, I don't have a guest. Today, you get me. So what I would like to talk to you about today, one of my favorite topics and one of the things that a lot of my clients suffer with when they come and see me is that feeling of being stuck. So before I get into that, though, what I'd like to do is tell you a little bit about me. So I am a master hypnotherapist, and that's clinical and metaphysical. I am a Reiki master and teacher. I do have my doctorate in philosophy. I'm an ordained reverend in spirituality and esoteric. And I've done a lot of training in lots of different things, and I've developed my own protocol that I use a lot with my clients called enhanced energy communication. And with enhanced energy communication, what I do is I'm working with releasing triggers and changing limiting beliefs, but sort of in a waking hypnosis state. But before I get into that piece of things, what I want to do is talk about some of the main reasons that people feel stuck. So you'll have to excuse me today. I'm still just getting over a cold. So you might hear a little raspiness in my voice. So one of the big reasons that people feel stuck is that they feel that they have surrendered. And they surrender to their current situation. Why? Because it's much easier. It's much easier to accept it than to change it. Because changing it is hard. Changing it means they've got to go into some very uncomfortable places. And most people who are stuck have already gone through something traumatic or serious in their life, negatively serious. And because that's happened to them, the thought of going back into that, the thought of dealing with the emotions from that are scary. It's scary. And so surrendering is a lot easier. It's a lot easier because it's a lot easier to swim in our darkness than it is to step into our light. And what I mean by that is the darkness is familiar. We understand it. It's something that we live with every day and we've lived with for a long time. We may not like it, but we get it. So because we understand it, we know what to expect there in the darkness, to walk into a different place, to walk into our light, to walk into our best potential that we hear people talking about all the time is a scary thing, because generally speaking, people are afraid of what they can't see. So if you can't see what that's going to look like, then you don't go there. So it's much easier to accept that you're stuck than to change it. And you become complacent. You've made the decision to exist in your current situation rather than to be who you were meant to be. And I'm going to be very direct with you guys today that are listening, because, you know, anyone who knows me and anyone who's worked with me, any one of my clients will tell you that I am not a big coddler. Yes, I get it. Yes, I am relating to you. But I'm not going to be one of your excuses. I'm not going to be one more person that gives you an out. Another way that you know that you've surrendered is that you feel drained energetically, so that the idea of living your dream seems something that's unattainable. So these are the things that this is how you know that you've surrendered And if this sounds like you, don't be that worried about it. It's something that you need to deal with, but it's not a failure on your part. We've all gone through this. I've gone through this. So if you don't know me and you're listening to me for the first time, I'm going to give you a little bit of my story to the point where I surrendered. And I lived in, I grew up in a family that came from a different country, and we came to Canada, and I couldn't fit in here. And my father and my mother were very old school. So there was some physical confrontations in my house. That's what I'm going to call it right now. There were a lot of physical confrontations between me and my father. And I was the eldest of three. And I can tell you that my father was very heavy-handed. But at the same time, he would tell me that he was doing this because he loved me. So I got a really twisted concept growing up about what love and pain meant. As a teenager, as a young teenager, I felt that if I wasn't feeling pain from someone, if they weren't hurting me, then they didn't love me. And so when I started dating, I would date men, boys, who would hurt me. And if they didn't, I would make sure that it would happen. Because only then would I feel like I was being loved. I am sure, knowing my father as an adult and knowing the man that he was, he never wanted, his message was not that. Not even close to that. He didn't know how to put out his message, but that wasn't it. But that's how I, as a child, learned it. So I went through a lot of very abusive relationships. I remember my father at the age of 16 telling me that, again, you know, how we interpret things. But parents say, you know, they say that kids say the darndest things. I think parents say the darndest things. And he said to me, Aisha, you will never be, you're just a blank piece of paper. You're nothing. You will be nothing until I decide what to write on you. And I was 16 years old then. And that crushed me. So as I, you know, going forward a little bit, I think my last physical confrontation with my father, when I did something or rolled my eyes or did something to something that he said, was when I was at the age of 24. That was the very last time that he raised his hand to me. And only because my brother was 16 at that time and was having no more of it. So later on, my dad realized that what he was doing was wrong. And I think that he didn't really get it because he was brought up that way. That's the way he was brought up as well. So, you know, if you go back, I didn't know it then, but I had to understand who this man was. And we created this wonderful friendship together. But still, I hadn't dealt with my triggers and my blocks. We had become friends. He apologized to me. We built a friendship as I started to get older. I went through two very bad marriages. One, I barely escaped with my life. And at the age of 40, in my early 40s, my father passed away. Now, I also had this wonderful accounting and bookkeeping practice. I had a television show called Maxed Out on TV, where I was helping women with their money. And I was a host of this show, and I was on TV, and I could, you know, and I thought, this is great. Like, you know, from the outside, my life looked really great. But every day, I was dying inside because my inside didn't match my outside. And I was creating this internal trauma. Every single day, I was reliving all of the feelings of inadequacy because no matter what I did, I still felt like that blank piece of paper. On the inside, I felt like I couldn't be anything more than that. And I was getting into one horrible, either verbal or mental abusive mentally or physically abusive relationship, one right after the other. So when my dad died at 42, something really interesting happened. And everything that I had been suppressing, because I was the life of the party. Nobody ever knew there was anything wrong with me. Nobody ever knew that I was dying inside. a little more every day. No one knew this because I was joking and I was laughing and I was having a great time, but that was my mask. That was the mask that I put on to protect who I was. So after that, after my dad died, everything I had been suppressing came to the surface at once. It was like this, I don't know if you people know what Niagara Falls is, but it was just like this huge waterfall of just emotions, negative emotions and triggers and limiting beliefs, and everything was just flying all over me. And I couldn't take it. It was so much that I had decided to end my life. I wanted to just go to sleep and not wake up anymore. I didn't know how to change it. I was stuck. I didn't know what to do. People would say things like, you know, go get help. I tried psychiatrists. They were making me talk about it even more. And it was just like I was reliving my past over and over and over again. It was painful. And I was angry all the time. And I couldn't deal with it anymore. So we were taking my father's ashes to Turkey to spread them on the Bosphorus. And I'd already made a plan after this family trip to do this, a year after my dad's death, that I would come home and I'd already made all the arrangements for myself and that I would go to sleep. And I've always been a big believer in reincarnation, but I thought that, you know, I'm just going to hit reset because I've made so many mistakes in this life. I made a lot of dangerous mistakes in this life, things I haven't even told you in this little brief talk about me. That I did to myself in the 20s and all through my 20s. Horrible, dangerous mistakes that I am surprised that I didn't, that something didn't happen to me then. So 2 days now, we're going to be home in 2 days. And I met my cousin for the first time, who's the same age as me in Turkey, and she's a Reiki master. And she said to me, Aisha, I want to give you Reiki. Now, I didn't know that much about what it was at the time. I knew that my mother was a Reiki master, but she never really talked about it, so I didn't really know what it was. I just knew she could put me to sleep sometimes, but I didn't know what it really was. And so I said, sure. And she said, no, I don't want to give you a session. She said, I'm going to actually attune you to Reiki so that you can do it for other people, but mostly for yourself. So not only did she attune me to level one, but she attuned me to level one and two that day. And she gave me like a flash, like a crash course, but we had a little bit of a language barrier too. So all I knew was the next day when I woke up in the morning, something in me shifted. Something inside me changed. And I didn't want to follow through with my plan. I had this new passion of understanding what this thing was that just happened to me. And I truly believe that that source energy, God, Allah, Buddha, whatever you want to call that higher power, has a plan for us. And the plan was not for me to end my life. There was something more that I was supposed to be doing. But I had to literally hit bottom before I could find, even begin to understand that there was something that I was supposed to be doing. So I actually called somebody from Turkey in Canada that was like living 20 minutes away from the airport, and I said, this is my situation. I'm landing in 2 days, and I need to come and see you. So I found this woman. I went there, and that became my Reiki master and my trainer, and she was also a hypnotist. That woman saved my life. So between her and my cousin, they saved my life. I don't know if they know that, but they did. So when I say that I get you and I understand you, I am not some book-studied woman. I've done all that work too as well. But I do get you because I've been there. I've been there. I understand you. And so when I'm going to start telling you about how to get unstuck and all the ways that you are stuck, I'm not just reciting some stuff to you. I've lived it. I know it. I get it. And I get you. So what I'd like to do right now, before we go into the next session, is I'm going to take you into a break. And after that break, we're going to move into other ways that you know that you're stuck. So thank you for listening to my story on A Master's Practice, and stay with me as we move into how you know you're stuck and how to get out of that. Thanks a lot.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicers, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Are you ready to live your life depression-free? Are you having thoughts of ending things? Wondering what life would be like without chronic pain? How about no longer suffering the effects of trauma and PTSD? Are you tired of having your credibility questioned because you look fine and no one understands that you are struggling with an invisible disorder? Hi, I'm Dr. Aisha Hogan, and I'm a holistic transformation specialist. I work with clients from all over the world to aid them in eliminating, that's right, you heard me, eliminating their current struggles and challenges. I don't work with symptoms. That's like putting a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound. I'm all about root cause and all the levels of you, as each one of us is unique. Ready to transform your life for good? To move into the best version of yourself and reach your unlimited potential? Then book your complimentary 1-hour online consultation with me by going to www.aishahogan.com. That's AYSEHogan.com. And it will take you right to my clinic, the Chakra House of Healing. I look forward to meeting you there.
I'm Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called the Bukavu in the Congo. We were a loving family. And then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day. People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America and all your problems are done, they don't understand that that's the beginning of everything. I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at EmbraceRefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi, welcome back with me, Dr. Aisha Hogan, to A Master's Practice. So we talked about before the break, we talked a little bit about my story, and we talked about one of the reasons you feel stuck. So you have surrendered. Another reason you feel stuck is the routine of your life. So routine is good when it's a positive, productive routine. But only if that routine is empowering you and energizing you. Otherwise, we get into this routine of just, we get up in the morning, we do this, we do that. You know, we have the same thoughts running through our head every single day. And, you know, we look in the mirror, we see the same wrinkles, we put ourselves down in the same way. So there's these kinds of routines that we do as well. And those routines let you know that you're stuck as well. And if your life has become like the same old, and you are a human doing, you're just doing stuff like a robot, making everybody else happy, doing things to not rock the boat in your family, and you're not being, then that's a problem. That's a struggle. It's something that you want to change. But I know what you're going to say next to me. You're going to say to me, but Aisha, I don't know how. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit as well. But routine can be a problem. So take a look at that life. And what routines that are negative for you have you created? Are you just running around like a robot, dropping off the kids at soccer, doing this, doing that, but you're not doing anything for yourself? Everything is for everyone else. The one thing that people need to realize that they is, and we've been trained this way, like honestly, we have been trained wrong. So, you know, we put everybody else first, but that's absolutely the wrong thing to do. We have to be first. You have to be first. It doesn't matter to me if you have 6 kids, a husband, a full-time job, you still have to be first. And the reasons why you have to be first is, think about it this way. At the end of your day right now, you probably feel very drained energetically. Your body, physically, you're tired. You just like probably fall into bed. You're tired, right? On top of all the things that you're carrying around. But if you felt happy and if you felt healthy every single day, if you look forward to every single day, imagine how much better a mother or father you would be, how much better a friend you would be, how much better a spouse you would be. We have to put ourselves first. That makes us better for everyone else. Then we have the energy to really give them the best of ourselves, right? Instead of just draining it till we have nothing left, you know, and then starting and doing the same thing every single day. We begin to resent our lives that way. You know, you don't want, I can't tell you how many clients come to me as women whose children, now they have empty nest and they don't know who they are anymore. They don't know what they want. They don't know what makes them happy. They don't know where their passions lie. They don't know anything about themselves. All of a sudden, they're living in the body of a stranger and they have no idea who they are. They just know that they're carrying around a lot of pain. That's not a fun place to be. So, routine and not putting yourself first. And you've created this comfort zone for yourself because it's a safe place. It's familiar. We just talked about that, right? You don't like it, but it requires little effort for you to stay there. You've already putting out, expending all of your effort on everyone else. You don't want to spend any effort on yourself. So creating this comfort zone is a great place for you to stay. Because it's like, oh, I'll deal with this later. You don't feel alive. You don't feel fulfilled. You've created a place for bad behavior. You've created a tolerance level for bad behavior. When, you know, we've all sort of seen this woman or we've watched her in a movie or we may know who she is or we may be this woman. And, you know, this woman whose husband comes home every day and beats her. And we wonder why she won't leave. Why won't she just pack her stuff and go? And the reason why she won't go is because as long as the abuse that she's getting is less than the abuse that she is giving herself in her own mind, that inner critic, that talk in her head, as long as it's less than that, she's created a playground that it's okay. Anything that happens in there is okay. Now, why is it that all of a sudden one day she might leave? Well, it's been okay until now. She stayed, and then all of a sudden one day she picks up her stuff and she picks up her kids and she goes. Why? What changed? What changed was the man probably did something that was beyond her boundary. Even those people have boundaries, but the boundaries are just, they're not as tight as they should be. They're pretty wide. And that boundary is maybe he threatened to kill her for the first time. Maybe he hit the kids for the first time. And that was when it was not okay anymore. That was when it was beyond the abuse that she was even giving herself. And that's when she said it was not okay. Really, though, if you love yourself and you feel happy and you feel healthy, that tolerance level, there really is not much of a playground going on. People can't treat you badly because you wouldn't allow it, because your self-respect would be is high. And it's like, no, the minute you see the signs, it's like, hey, not okay. Those people won't even come near you because your energy would be different. They wouldn't even be able to come close to you. So we create this place for bad behavior from others because we have low self-esteem, low self-respect. We feel unworthy. And so this stuff has become okay with you. The tolerance level is much too high. Much too high. Another way is that you ignore, the fourth sign is that you ignore the signs and you make excuses. So even when you're in that state, you always have this part of you that says, I wish things were different. I don't want to feel like this. I want to feel better. And believe it or not, you might not believe. okay, I don't know what that sound was, but believe it or not, you, that kind of threw me off. I don't know if you heard that, but that was weird. People, we ask for things and energy is listening. Okay, energy is listening. So when energy is listening, law of attraction is always in play. So when you're saying, I wish things were different, I wish I could do this, I wish I could do that, these opportunities are showing up for you. They are showing up for you. If you hear me right now, if you're listening to me right now, this might be the opportunity that you asked for. You needed to hear this, right? You needed to hear this. Maybe you need to come and see me. But many of you, if there's 100 of you watching, maybe only one of you will call. Because the rest of you will say, oh, later. Because you are in that stuck state. You'll put yourself last. So when the opportunities show up, you're not taking them. You're not seeing the signs that are being put right in front of you. You're making excuses. I call them like, they're human alibis, right? It's like, oh, I don't have any money. Oh, I can't do this right now. Oh, my life is too busy. Oh, I can't make time for that right now. I'll deal with that later. I've got other things to deal with. You know, I can't deal with myself right now. Like, so we make these things that I call these human alibis of why you can't take care of yourself. So we ignore the signs and we make excuses. And at the end of the day, you know, these opportunities may not show up again. You know, not every opportunity, we take it for granted, not every opportunity is going to show up for you again. And if you keep sweeping them under the carpet, then that becomes a belief that you're just not worth it. And those opportunities are going to start coming. Because the thing about law of attraction is, if we talk about something being missing, why don't opportunities show up for me? Law of attraction doesn't understand missing. Energy doesn't understand missing. Everything is abundant. So energy doesn't understand missing, and there isn't any. If you say this is missing, they're just going to give you more of what you're just going to get more of what you're missing. You know, like, I don't have enough money. People will say that. Well, energy will be like, oh, okay, well, here's more not enough money, because that's what you're asking for. So we're not even clear about what we want, and we're getting all the wrong things, and we're deflecting. We're saying that it's everybody else's fault for how you feel instead of owning it. So if you think about your family right now and the people that you are putting first besides you, and the people, would you allow someone or something to traumatize your family members that you love so much? Would you allow something to traumatize them in this way? Would you allow them to be traumatized day after day after day? Would you allow it? Chances are you wouldn't. So why would you do that for yourself? The next sign is where you just collapse. At the end of the day, you drain yourself every day. Energetically, physically, mentally, you are exhausted. You've given away everything of yourself and you've left nothing for you. So my question to you at this point, now that you know some of the signs of being stuck, I'm going to ask you a question, and I can pretty much guess most of you think I'm going to ask you why, and I'm not asking you why. I'm not asking you why you're doing this to yourself. I'm not asking you that. What I'm asking you is how much longer? How much longer are you going to do this to yourself? How much longer, how much more of your life are you going to choose to waste? Because you're there for everyone else, but your life, your personal life, you are wasting. Trying to be everything for everyone else and not enough for yourself. And when you're not enough for yourself, you're going to always feel like you're not enough for anyone else either. You know, when you think about our human body, it's really only 0.00001%, probably more zeros, of our whole energy field. 99.999999, whatever, however many nines are out there, percent is our energy. So that means in this body, we only have a finite amount of time. Our energy lives on forever, but in this body, we only have a finite amount of time. And my question to you at this point would be, how many more days, minutes, hours, weeks are you going to wait because you really don't have as many as you think if you keep doing that. Because it becomes very easy to put yourself aside. So how much longer? How much longer are you going to do this to yourself? How much more of your life needs to disappear before your eyes? Before you say, you know what? I'm worth it. And the really cool thing is that we don't realize about ourselves, these things that we don't realize about ourselves because we don't see it with our physical eyes. Every one of us is genetically coded differently. Every one of us, our DNA is different. There has been nobody like you in history. There has nobody been exactly like you in history. And there will never be another person like you ever. That means that you are unique and you are special. Les Brown, wonderful speaker, says, you are a masterpiece because you were made by the master. So be the masterpiece. Be unique. Be genuine. Find out what your superpowers are because we all have them. We all have something that's ours, that's innate to us. We all have a path, a purpose, something that we're supposed to be doing beyond the mundane of every day, beyond the ordinary. Don't you want to know what that is? When I found out my superpowers, I was like, oh my God, is there more? I want more. This is amazing. I want to leave this life better than I found it. I want to leave this place better than I found it. But my first step was to get unstuck. And that, me facing my past, that was not easy for me. That was really hard because I'm sure that a lot of you feel this way. The trauma of my past, the pain that I was feeling within myself had been a part of who I was. So when I was going to different coaches and different holistic guides and facilitators to help me get through my stuff, and they would say, Aisha, you have to let go of the past. We have to help you let go of this stuff. I had to make the decision to do that before they could help me do it. I had to say, okay, let's do it. But I was, to me, it made no sense. To me, it's like, how do I let go of my past? I'd been carrying the pain for so long that it had become a part of me. It was like, you're asking me to cut off my arm right now. And I don't know what's going to be left of me if I do this. If I do what you're asking, I'm just going to be this pile of goop on the floor. There's going to be nothing left of me because I am the pain. That's all I am. And that's how I felt about myself. That I am the pain. And for you to say that I need to put that, as, that I need to deal with that and get rid of it and let them help me, that was like alien to me. That made no sense. I fought that for the longest time. My healing journey took longer because I wouldn't let go. I was holding on. I was white knuckling it. Like I was holding on to that with everything I had. Because I was too scared of what was going to be left behind. The day that I decided to actually do that, the day that I decided to say, okay, they caught me on a good day. When I went in one day and I was like, all right, let's do this. And the day that I decided to actually do it, and we started doing some really intense work on me. And I remember the moment that this one moment where I opened my eyes from a technique that we were doing. And I opened my eyes and I started like looking at my hands and blinking my eyes a lot. And I remember the facilitator saying, what are you doing, Aisha? And I said, you know when you wear a Halloween mask and you're looking through the little eye slits? of a mask. I said, that's what I feel like right now. I feel like I'm not in my own skin. I feel like I'm not wearing, I said, I don't understand how I'm feeling right now. I don't feel like I'm wearing my own skin. I feel very unfamiliar in this body. I had done such a huge release that day, such a massive release that day. That was the day that my healing really began. And I had done such a massive release that day that all of a sudden I was feeling myself in my body for the first time without all the pain. There was still work to do, don't get me wrong. But I had shed so much of it in those few sessions that I was like, oh my God. I jumped up to look in the mirror and I looked at myself and I was like, seeing myself for the first time. And for the first time, I liked who I saw. For the first time, I wanted to get to know that woman. I wanted to get to know who she was. Because she seemed kind of cool. So no one can heal you. The one thing that I learned is that you are the healer. I was the healer. Somebody was facilitating my healing for me, but I was healing myself by number one, giving them permission, by number two, making a decision. That's the huge thing. Make a decision. That is the very first way to get yourself unstuck. You need to make a decision. And up until that point, I hadn't made a decision. I was flitting around the edges of it, but I hadn't made a hard and fast decision that it was time. And when I made that decision, things started to change for me quickly. And at the age of my mid-40s, I was in my mid-40s, I found out who I was for the first time. So stay with me on a master's practice with me, Dr. Aisha Hogan, and let's find out how to get you unstuck.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Hi there, and welcome back to A Master's Practice with me, Dr. Aisha Hogan. And if you've been following along, we've been talking about how you feel stuck. So one of the things, now it's like, you know that you're stuck. You've made a decision that you want to get better, that you want to stop living in your past, listening to that voice in your head, and re-traumatizing your body. One of the ways that we re-traumatize ourselves outside of talking about our past all the time is also when our inside doesn't match our outside, right? Because a lot of people on the outside, they make everything look really nice on the outside, but it's not how they feel on the inside. So I talked about that in the first segment. So when that doesn't match, you are continually traumatizing yourself. So what's going on inside? You've got neural patterns in your brain that are becoming stronger and stronger and stronger every day. They're sending chemicals to your, commands down to your hypothalamus. Your hypothalamus is where all the chemicals are made in your body. So that starts getting pumped into all the cells in your body. So all of these victim peptides or sadness or depression peptides, we'll call them that for the sake of argument, and we'll put that in there, your cells are becoming addicted to that. Because our cells are highly addictive. So they're being addictive to that, I want to feel like the victim. So even when you are having a good day, all of a sudden, you'll start to feel crappy again. Because your cells are becoming addicted. They want it. They want their fix. So their hypothalamus is sending it to them. And that begins to manifest all the things that you're feeling. All the trauma that you're putting yourself through. And that's where our illnesses start to come from. Right? All those chronic illnesses that we get, that's where they come from. Some stuff is environmental, but most of it, we cause it to ourselves, right? So do you want to make yourself sick? And if you don't, and if you don't want to be stuck, then let's make some decisions here. So part of it is making a decision, deciding that it's time to shine. You don't have to know how, you just have to make the decision. Don't worry about the how yet. And then it's pushing yourself. You have to push yourself out of your comfort zone, taking one step at a time, thinking of it like baby steps, right? Baby steps. Or when you're riding a bike, you know, you learn how to ride a bike and you don't just get on there and start riding, right? You get up, you get on, someone's holding the back of the seat for you, you fall down, you get up, you know, it takes some time. You've got training wheels, right? It takes a while to learn how to ride a bike, but then you're kicking it after that, right? So you have to think of this in the same way. Just one baby step at a time, every day, just something that takes you out of your comfort zone, right? If you've had a lot of trauma in your life, if you feel very bad, then you need to find someone who can help you. You are still the healer. You're still the one who's doing the healing. All healing is self-healing. But sometimes we're too associated with the problem. We're too associated with the struggle and the challenge. We're too close. So we don't see it for what it really is. And we need someone outside of us who's disassociated from it to actually be able to say, hey, this is what I need you to do. So when you are working with someone, you should always be driving the car. I tell my clients all the time. You are driving the car. I'm holding the map. I'm beside you. I'm the navigator, right? But you are driving the car. So if I ask you to turn right and you don't want to turn right, I can't make you turn right. You have to make the decision to make the right. I can't make you do anything. I am not waving a magic wand, right? So just keeping that in mind that you are always the healer. So when we say we're going to healers, you're not going to a healer. You're the healer. You're going to someone who's facilitating that for you. Even if someone can put their hand on your head and, you know, like those evangelists or whatever and do something, you still gave them permission to do it. You still are the healer. It's still your intention that matters the most. So keeping that in mind. So and believing in yourself, believing that you can and you will. And that's by taking those little steps. If you try to take giant steps all at once, then it's hard. You can't change your life in one day. You are not a light switch on and off. Okay? So it does take a moment for you to start moving into this where you can like, oh, this feels good. This feels good. This is good. And you will fail. There will be days that you won't do the best. There will be days that you will slide backwards a little bit. But that's okay. You be kind to yourself and you say, okay, that was today, but I'm back on and I'm going to keep on doing this. Right? And you will feel better and better and lighter. And eventually your superpowers will start to come to the surface because we all have them. You're no different than me. I'm no different than you. It doesn't matter who you are. You could be Deepak Chopra, Oprah, Tony Robbins. It doesn't matter. Nobody's better than anyone. We are all the same. We come from the same place. They don't have something you don't have. We are all masterpieces because we all come from the same master. And each one of us has our own innate way of being. So just understanding that is super important. The blocks appear. Why do blocks appear? Because your mind is trying to protect you. So when you want to do something, all of a sudden it'll put fear in front of you, or it'll put some negative thoughts in front of you or whatever, because it's trying to protect you. But protect you from what? It's a false fear. Push past it. Push past that block and it's going to disappear. You know, walk around it, push through it, get a sledgehammer, break it, get through it, and it will disappear. It's amazing how fast that solid block that's in front of you is actually nothing at all. And you can push past it. So allowing yourself to do that. Reliving your trauma is just punishing yourself. Keeping yourself stuck is punishing yourself. What have you done in your life that is so horrible that you need to punish yourself every day? We've all done horrible things. I know I have. I've hurt people without wanting to. Because I was broken. Part of me was broken. I fixed it, but it was broken at the time. We've all done what we think are horrible things. But don't live there. Don't keep yourself trapped there. Move forward. Move beyond that. So here's some questions that I want you to ponder. So, you know, grab a piece of paper or listen to this again and write this down for yourself. Take some time. Don't write it down this moment, but write down the questions. What do you want? What do you want? Right? If I could snap my fingers just like that, just give you a, and give you anything that you wanted, what would that be? And think introspection, think inside. Don't think bigger cars and big house. This is a different kind of what do you want. Inside, what do you want? Who do you want to see in the mirror? In the eyes? In your soul, what do you want? What's in your way? That's your second question you want to ask yourself. What is in your way? Is it a belief, an excuse, a fear? Is the fear real or is it exaggerated? What's in your way? Part of being able to make this decision is having an awareness of what you want and what's in your way. And what do you, the third question is, what do you need to do? What do you need to do? Do you need to get help? I'm here. People like me. Well, there's nobody quite like me. Haha. But I'm here. I'm happy to help you. And I get you. You know, I do free consultations with people just so they can meet me. We spend an hour just chatting, just so you can meet me. So if you can see that, if you can relate to me, right? So do you get help? I promise you, if you want freedom, I can get you there. I can give you that promise. I will get you there, because what is my purpose in this life? It's to be a catalyst. I used to dream about putting my fingers together, like interlocking my fingers together, and people would step on my hand and I would just keep raising them up and raising them up. And I never really knew what that dream was about until later it started clicking into my head. I am the catalyst. That's my job. That's my job. My job is to give you my hand so you can step on them and I can raise you up and I can raise you up. That is my job. That is my superpower. I have lots of ways that I do it, but that is my superpower. And I love that I know what my superpower is. Right? And you can find out what yours is. And I know that when I leave this world, I'm going to leave it a better place than I found it, because there's lots of people all over this world that I have helped already. And I've helped them help themselves. It's an amazing feeling. It's rewarding. So what I'm going to say to you right now is, if anything that I've said to you resonates with you, if you want to find out more, then book a free consultation with me. Let's spend an hour and chat. I could do it online. I do most of my practice is online. Go to my website. All the contact information is all listed in Om Times, but go to www.AishaHogan.com. It will take you to my website, the Chakra House of Healing. On the very first page, it says, book your consultation. Book it, because that's my job. That's what I do. That's my specialty. That's my superpower. So let's find your superpower. Let's find out who you are when you're not stuck, when we can take away all those walls. Imagine yourself as a house filled with boxes up to the ceiling of negative feelings, things that are standing in your way from opening the windows, from opening the doors, from accepting all the things that you want to manifest in. They keep showing up, but you can't find the door because it's all piled up with boxes. Let's clear it all out. Let's lay new carpet, paint the walls, open the windows. That's your real home, is the body that you're in right now. That is your home, not the building that you live in. This body is your home right now. That's the one that needs your do-it-yourself. That's the one that needs some renovating right now. That's the one that needs some purging. So if you're ready for that, all you got to do is reach out. You have to make a decision. You have to make a decision. And I'll be right there to hear it. So thank you for joining me today on A Master's Practice. I'm Dr. Aisha Hogan. Please join me every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard or 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Thank you so much for joining me on Om Times Radio.